And the mayor is now beating the table like drums. So thank you very much. Good afternoon.
Yeah, you're not the only one with some talent, you know.
Mark Carrier, media director for the mayor, and you're here with Mayor Tom Koch. This is City View, one of Podcast Quincy's podcasts. It is the podcast right now. Check us out, Podcast Quincy. And today, Mayor, we don't want to go back and forth and stuff because we have a lot of stuff that has happened this week. It's been a really exciting week, and let's start with the new proposed learning center. Let's talk a little bit about that. We had a press conference yesterday in front of this new site, which is the ENC building, which is on Old Colony, on Colony Ave, and it's behind Central, but it's a beautiful building. Talk about what you talked about yesterday.
Sure. Well, again, on the location, behind the new Central Middle School, there are two buildings owned by ENC. You go way back when, they were part of the Howard Johnson's candy factories back there, for those older folks that may be listening, remember Howard Johnson's. And one of the buildings has been on the market, the one directly behind Central, and has had some offers, and there was people looking at it for housing. We had a commercial user look at it, but it wasn't adequate, the space and all. So it's been on the market for a little while. I've been looking at it and saying, you know, that it's just a good opportunity for our school system. You know, we meet, you know, every month and sometimes more often as a school committee, but there's also what we have is called challenge and opportunities when we meet. And I talk about, you know, once a year, okay, what's coming up? What are the challenges? What are the opportunities out there? How can we better our system? How can we better the opportunities for our kids? How can we be as efficient as we can? So when you look at all those things, one of the things that's been talked about over the years, can we do more in-house for some of our special needs kids and families that are dealing with autism and other issues and challenges? So, you know, when you send a kid out, this cost to the tuition portion, but then there's the transportation cost, which is very significant. You know, we come up with a program, and this all came together real quickly, by the way. Talk to all the counselors, let them know what's going on. We talk to all the school committees, let them know what's going on. You know, we're back and forth with ENC with an offer, counter offer, so we're in final negotiations. But basically, at the press conference, I announced an $8.5 million plan, which would include the purchase and the rehabilitation or updating of the building. Now, that would be paid back over 30 years through debt service, like we do with any building, major renovations or a new building. You're allowed to go out for 30 years. Now, when you do the matrix on this, and we did some math, if we, for example, had somewhere between 30 and 40 kids that we were to bring back to keep in Quincy, and by the way, I don't underestimate that. It's not all about the numbers, but if I'm a mother or a father and my kid's going on a bus for an hour to get there and an hour to come home, sometimes longer depending on traffic, then I would much rather have them closer to home. I really would. So there's the social benefit side of it, never mind the educational as well as the financial. You know, when we do the numbers on this thing, and Eric Mason, my economist, by the way, in municipal finance, I challenged him to put some models together for me to look at all the numbers, and Jim Mullaney, the superintendent, Dr. Christopher, and all, you know, we had some meetings on it. At the end of the day, so we buy the building, we fix the building, we staff the building, and we maintain the building, we still save significant money in the budget. That's pretty remarkable. Mm. So this is a no-brainer, in my opinion. It's a win-win. It's the right thing to do for our families, keeping the close to home. But it's also for those folks out there that just look at the taxes and look at the numbers, right? Just look at the numbers. Maybe they never had a kid in the school system and don't care. But somebody that's looking at how we operate as a government, how efficient we are, this should be something very attractive to them. They should be interested in this because this is going to save significant money. And conservatively, we've estimated $300,000 to $500,000 the first year.
Just turnkey, just walking.
That's correct. In. And now, whether you save any more on that in the current year is one thing, but you compound that out over years going forward, this is millions of dollars in savings. Because the part of the school budget that's growing more dramatically than the other part is special ed side of things. And there's a lot of different reasons for that. You know, we have an outstanding school system. People come here for our schools. We have outstanding special needs options for families that people also feel comfortable with here in Quincy. So for all those reasons, and, you know, we do a budget in the spring. You could have 3 or 4 or 8 move-ins that have some severe disabilities. All of a sudden, our budget is knocked way out of whack because you're sending them out of district. It becomes a little bit more challenging. Let me reiterate, though, our first and foremost priority is to take care of the needs of each of those kids and those families.
Yeah, that's right.
So money's not the issue when it comes to that. However, being the CEO of the city, I've got to be responsible and stretch every dollar we possibly can. So having a program like this, because we already do some in-house special needs. You know, we've got special needs classes at different buildings around the city. We've got a Delicatessen Center, which has the pre-K and kindergarten kids who have some special challenges. And so this is, we're good at it, you know. So, but to have a special place designated a learning center that we're allowed to fully staff right next to a current middle school in the heart of our city, I just think is such a good program and good move to make. So it'll go to the city council and go into finance committee, and when they schedule finance committee, we're going to make the full presentation to the council. And once the P&S is signed with the college, we then have a real deal. We then will sit with the school committee and begin the process of them then buying into the program, and I think they will. I've had conversations with all of them. Most of them are very excited about this opportunity. And then the superintendent and his team have to send to us, the school committee, okay, what is the program going to be? The school committee would then be involved in those decisions. And then, of course, the new fiscal year budget we start to talk about in middle of March, early April. It gets sent to the council in May. So the changes in that budget on the school side would be part of that new budget for the new fiscal year next year. The goal is to open up this facility in September of 2020.
That's amazing.
It's aggressive, but the building's in pretty solid shape. We've got some changes to make and upgrades to make.
But a beautiful building overall. Yeah,
yes,
solid.
It's a good, solid building. Parking, good bones. Everything. Got parking. You know, we're going to have to make some tweaks on bathrooms and certain requirements that we'll have to meet for whatever the population we end up serving at that building. I additionally would see us down the road probably hitting the hotel tax money to build a state-of-the-art playground facility behind the building for this group of kids we have as well. So I just think it's a no-brainer. It's a win-win. You know, you're going to start somewhere. The mayor and CEO, his job is to provide an agenda, provide a vision, provide opportunity. That's what we're doing. Now we'll deal with the two bodies that obviously fiduciary role the city council has, and then, of course, the role the school committee plays in allocating the budgets that are over there. So this budget, this new money, doesn't affect the current school budget. This is new money that gets attributed to the debt service side. So it's I'm just so excited about it. I'm so pleased with it. And to see the reaction of the superintendent, Deputy Superintendent Mulvey, Aaron Perkins, who's director of our special education department of our school system, the excitement and enthusiasm they have in all of this. And it's so driven by trying to keep our kids right here in their own backyard, I think is huge. So this is a tremendous opportunity for all of us. So I'm looking forward to the public debates coming forward and to more discussion and dialogue about it.
Yeah, and this is one of those things that, again, you said it before, it's a win-win. This is the one that we're getting a lot of positive response from the community as well. So that's really exciting.
We are. It's good to hear.
Believe it or not. So let's shift gears on that one and talk about another great project that's been in the works for a long time. But you had a groundbreaking the other day at the North Quincy. It's called the Abbey, right?
Yes. Let's back up a little bit. Now, nothing was sold off. So what happened here was the MBTA, in conjunction with the city, made a decision to put that 7.5-acre asphalt surface parking lot that ran the length of Hancock Street between Squanum Street and all the way back beyond Panera, almost to the Kendall Street. That whole side, that whole corridor was never very handsome to look at.
No.
So, you know, the state has been challenged, as the MBTA has, to come up with additional revenues to help put back into the system. So there's a lease now, a 99-year lease on this property to the developer that'll pay the T lease payments every year, then goes back in to help pay for the system.
Sure.
So that's one. Two is there'll be real estate taxes from this that comes to the city coffers. Three is there are construction jobs being provided to our men and women in the trades. And there are long-term job opportunities, both in the upkeep and maintenance of the building, but also it was announced that Target would be the main tenant in the 45,000 square foot of retail. Now, they'll be looking for help and putting, there'll be people putting, be put to work in that long-term jobs. And that provides a new retailer to Quincy. One of the squawks I hear from people is, you know, we need more retailers. There's nowhere to shop. There's no this and that. And we're turning the corner in Quincy Center, and you're going to see, in a couple of years, you're going to see the retail always follows the development. They don't want to be first in. It's dirty, the construction, all of that. So even though the retail world continues to change drastically, I mean, how many people use Amazon now. They're ordering from on their phone and shows up at the door. So I still like to go in and touch and feel, you know.
Sure,
They want to see that tie. You want to, you know, whatever the case may be. Maybe I'm old school, but I think there'll always be a place for some retail.
I agree.
So this is a quality retail that would serve the demographic of this city fairly well. So, I think this is just a tremendous opportunity. In addition, the contractor and developer are committed at our request to rebuild the entire drainage system in and around that site. So we had a lot of drain lines that went under that parking lot that were not in good shape.
Right.
So they've made the drain lines much better. You could walk through the pipes that they're putting in on that site.
Wow.
So that serves parts of North Quincy all the way over to Atlantic Middle School. If you really look at it, the topography of the area, there's kind of a bowl there.
Yeah.
So when you get the heavy rains and the tide is in, it gets trapped. So we need this additional capacity for storage. As then it goes out, and by the way, this feeds to the Montclair Marsh, which then goes out in the Ponset River. So if the tide is in the river and the heavy rains are in, you know, it gets challenging. Everything backs up. So we've had issues on 200 Newbury Avenue behind Atlantic. We've had issues on Kendall Street, Price Street over the years, the other parts of Newbury Avenue down that end. I'm at the higher end, by the way. It doesn't affect me either way. But this is a great civil engineering project that's going to solve some of our flooding issues as well.
Oh, wow.
They'll be paying more than $5 million into the Affordable Housing Trust, which is going to give us some opportunities to do some more things creatively for workforce housing. You know, so this is an exciting project. Now, I know that not everyone is as excited about it as I am. But I'll tell you, if there's anywhere we ought to be doing development, it's on the spine of the tracks.
That's it, exactly.
I mean, it meets transportation-oriented development. And the other part of this is, and we wouldn't be doing this if the governor wasn't committed to the Red Line. And the Red Line is undergoing hundreds of millions of dollars of improvements and new signals and systems in place. New cars have been ordered. They'll be arriving. So, you know, if this project was open now, I wouldn't be too happy that people would be able to get on the train in the morning in North Quincy because the trains are full by the time they get there. But under the new plan over the next couple of years, the capacity is going to be increased, I'm told, 40 to 50% with greater reliability. So people coming out of that complex walk over to the platform, get on a train very easily if they're going into Boston. So it's an awesome opportunity to take advantage of the location and put it to work. We're creating a new neighborhood, a new community on what was 7.5 acres of ugly asphalt,
yeah.
Looking at park cars as you drove by.
And that's where you want to keep it. You said that, out of the neighborhoods and right along the spine of the tracks.
That's correct. Correct. And it makes a whole new neighborhood. It's all commercial in there now, but it creates a whole new neighborhood. And by the way, there's a parking garage going up that's going to be in the core of this. So all the parking that's been displaced at North Quincy will return in the new garage.
Which is close to 1,600 spaces.
Well, yeah,
right
now I think it's about 800 that the lot uses. And then, of course, the development's going to require an amount of spaces as well. So there'll be some shared use on some of the parking, but it's really all good. Some people just don't like change. I get that.
Right.
There's some older folks. My older sister still talks about the Medway, the Midway that was over there.
Sure.
Some old store that, you know, it's before my time.
Yeah.
I mean, and I say this to people, you know, people get worked up And everyone deserves to have their opinion heard, and I certainly don't dismiss that. There were meetings held with Councilor Harris and DJ McKinnon. We had neighborhood meetings. People weighed in. They talked about their concerns, the look of the place, and looking forward to some retail. So it didn't happen overnight. This has been going on for a few years. And a combination of MBTA, state, city, and the private developer coming together with this great program. I remember, Mark, that when Marina Bay was proposed, the master plan for Marina Bay, people come out of the woodwork by the hundreds, mostly from Squanum. They were opposed to Marina Bay. It was going to be the end of the world, et cetera, et cetera. Half of Squanum moved into Marina Bay. Marina Bay is a beautiful, beautiful waterfront community that pays a lot of taxes to the city that people go in and get to enjoy. The world was going to end when State Street South went into the Montclair Marsh. I mean, the Montclair people were fighting that big time. And, you know, hey, look at that. Well, look at that economic engine that has become for our city with that great corporate presence down there. So change happens. And then some people don't like change. I get it. And not all change is great. I'm not arguing that. But the only constant in life is change. And if we don't drive the change to the direction and the destiny we want to seek as a city, then I don't want to become one of those other oldest cities that nothing's happening and you're in decline, values go down.
If you're not in control of that change, too. Right. If you're not in control of that, yeah.
So anyone can disagree on the policy of this, and I get it, but I'll tell you, the positives far outweigh whatever the negatives could be. And let me remind people, there was a proposal there some 13 years ago to build a 16 cinema theater complex there, which would have been a disaster for the neighborhood. Mm. That doesn't bring any real economic activity. You hire people at minimum wage, and you deal with traffic every night and all weekend long. Mm. What does that bring to the city? You know, so I think this is a very responsible development for that site. You know, and I haven't talked much about, I've talked before, but the need for housing. We're part of a metropolitan Boston area, whether we like it or not. You know, Boston's the neighbor to the north. It is the economic engine for New England.
Right.
We're in that vicinity. We're not this little suburbia out 50 miles.
We're a city.
Yeah. And we've got some incredible suburban feel neighborhoods, and we want to maintain those. But the reality is we need to be part of the greater solution. We need more housing units in the marketplace. It's been talked about. There's studies showing it to keep people coming to Boston. This metropolitan area come into Quincy because they're coming in for work. They need places to live. And the other piece of that is those people that squawk about the affordability of renting an apartment. Well, one of the easiest ways to help solve that is to put more units in the marketplace, right? To help stabilize rent, more competition. You know, we've got some great single family neighborhoods and we could rattle them off. You know, you could go to Squanum, parts of Wallace and Beechwood Knoll and Marymount and House Neck, parts of West Quincy, parts of South Quincy. There's a lot of beautiful neighborhoods that are single family. There's a lot of other neighborhoods that have multis in them. They're also great neighborhoods.
Sure.
We're a city. We have a little bit of everything. And we have four red line stations, a commuter rail station, bus service here. Folks, we are a city. We're an urban area. And that doesn't mean we have to turn into a crazy
metropolitan
type setup, but we've got to do our part as a city to help meet the needs of our young people. I mean, I got three adult children that at some point are going to be looking to go out and rent or buy a condo or buy a house. I'd like them to be able to stay in Quincy. So the more options we have for these people, the better everybody is, you know? So I know there's critics of this, and there's always plenty of critics, and I understand that.
Well, one of the good things that they've been saying, too, is, you know, with the loss of the Big Y, which is, by the way, one of our biggest listened podcasts, it's amazing how the things that affect people's neighborhoods. Sure. But the Target is actually is a great alternative for that. Target actually has a food store as well.
They do have a food store as well. It brings more options for people in. You know, I've had people come up to me, you know, why did you close the Big Y? Like it's a government operator.
They had that power.
This is private enterprise. It is the marketplace. And by the way, I enjoyed. I could stop in the Y on the way home, and you could get in and out of there very easily. So we're monitoring that closely as we go forward. Anyway, but no, this is good stuff. Both this the Abbey and I don't know if folks out there realize, but as part of the presentation that day, the Bozzuto Company presented to the city an original letter from Abigail Adams to her son Thomas Boylston, beautifully framed, that we're going to put in our Quincy Museum. I mean, something like that is just priceless, Mark. I mean,
that is amazing.
Was a prolific writer. She's a remarkable woman in our country's history and, of course, our city's history. And so it was kind of cool that they zeroed in on recognizing
that's great.
Abigail Adams. I told my daughter, Abby, it's really named for her, but I don't think she bought it.
A letter from Abigail. That's fantastic. Thank you for the update on that, Mayor. I think that's going to be a really exciting piece to the city, another addition to the city. A couple other things I just wanted to touch on before we wrap today's podcast up is you just took a little walk down. We already did this show a couple weeks ago, so I don't want to revisit the whole issue, but you were down at the proposed compressor station last.
Actually, I got a call from Senator Markey's office. He wanted to come down again to see the site, walk the site with a number of the community activists who've been working very, very hard on this issue. And of course, he was joined by Senator Pat O'Connor from the South Shore, Senator Walter Timilty, Representative Jamie Murphy, who represents this district in Weymouth.
Yeah.
And then a number of folks from the neighborhood from both sides. And again, walk the site and why it makes absolutely no sense to put a compressor station at that location. And by the way, this compressor station, the whole purpose of this is to move gas up through Canada to export gas to other countries. The Canadian company would make all the money on it. So all of the conditions we put up with has absolutely no benefit to our community or our region. You know, it'd be one thing if it was serving the gas for our area, but it has nothing to do with that. What is very troubling is these facilities are extremely dangerous, hazardous, and provide a lot of wonderful pollutants to our air.
Really?
And so, you know, to add the burden of what's in the Four River Basin today, which has already been for the last 100 years a problem for pollution and the industry we've had there. But at least the industry there put people to work and put food on people's table that work locally. But this is purely a non-American corporate company that would benefit financially from this. There was a problem not long ago in Michigan where there was a major mishap out there. If this thing ever blew, you know, you're next to the Four River Bridge. This neighborhood's very close to it.
Yeah.
There's a sewer pump station for MWR right next to it. This would be catastrophic to the region, never mind just Quincy, Weymouth, and Braintree. What it would do to the commerce of this area would be incredible. This is just a horrible, I think, opportunity. That's not the right word. It's a horrible plan. I would expect that our state and federal partners, whether it's DEP, EPA, and all those are supposed to be looking out for our health, they should be up in arms over this thing. It drives me absolutely insane. The EPA is suing the city of Quincy. They claim we're putting toxins into Quincy Bay, yet they're going to allow something like that to happen in our backyard. You know, please. So it's. I was glad to see the senator engaged on this issue. Congressman Lynch has been with us right along on this issue.
Right.
He's been a great champion, as is Bob Hedlund, the mayor of Weymouth, Joe Sullivan, the mayor of Sullivan, of Braintree, Jamie Murphy, the state rep there, and everybody coming together. Ron Mariano, who's from Quincy Point, majority lead, he's not happy. Senator John Keenan has been working very hard on this. So we're kind of all working, you know, and rowing in the same direction.
That's good.
Councilor Brad Kroll, Councilor Dave McCarthy. This, when you go out to the site and walk it, and if you go all the way out to the pump station there that DMD Barry owns, you're in Quincy. That little corner is in Quincy. You look across the water, you're looking at Germantown. You look in the other direction, you're looking at Quincy Point. So this thing is a lot closer to our borders than people realize.
Right, right.
So to me, it's public health and public safety. Both of them are problems for this project. And I just certainly hope that our regulators can see their way to denying this.
Well, thank you, Mayor. Always,
but we got something good coming up this weekend.
How do you know I was going to talk about
that? And I just had a sense. Well, are you in one of the bands this weekend?
Are you in one of the bands?
No, I'm not.
You're not, okay.
Nope.
Well, I am in one of the bands, yes. It's one of my old band has actually come back. But we have a lot of followers, especially on the South Shore, all around here. So
sure, Mark. Sure.
We've got 7,000 people have responded on the Facebook event. So
it's going to be a big event.
Not me. No, to see the whole thing, to experience, okay, right, to have a whoopie pie, or to go visit the Montelio's wood-burning pizza. So we have a lot of trucks.
How many trucks we got coming?
About 20 trucks, 22 trucks, I believe.
Okay, so these are all food and beverage?
These are all food and beverage trucks.
So whatever your palate is, it'll be there for
it'll
you.
Be there. And yep, the mayor said we can't even put this on unless we have the whoopie pie truck. And
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, and I'm cutting the line if there's a long line.
So Wahlburgers is going to be there. And we have Roxy's Grilled Cheese, which is one of my favorites. I love that one. There's a barbecue. There's Indian food. There's lots of dessert trucks with the Cookie Monster truck just signed on. So
that's good stuff. Beside Dick and Jane, what are the other acts?
Let's start with Cosmic Analog Blue is our opening act, followed by the Dave Macklin Band. Some of you like some of that music, a lot of Motown, a lot of funk music. X's and O's, a band that is just about to sign with a big record label. I can't even say it out loud, but they really are. And they just opened up for Cardi B out in the West Coast. And then, of course, Dick and Jane, the Jay Passaro's band. Jay's opened up for a lot of big national acts. He's a really great local guy. And a kids' entertainment as well. We have a Boston magician and juggler, Big Joe, the storyteller, Matt Heaton Band, and Philip Alexander and the Wild Things. Bring a chair, bring a blanket, plenty of room. We're closing off Coddington Street. It's going to be a beautiful day.
Beautiful spot along Coddington. You got the library lawn. You got the beautiful Gothic structure of the Bethany Church. You get the Coddington building, which is gorgeous, that green in front of Quincy High. It's a great spot for it, and it's not too far from public transportation. So,
and Mayor
encourage
Koch,
people to come
you.
And enjoy, and we really should thank Fox Rock. I mean, they've been a quiet sponsor this last couple of years. It's these things don't happen without some corporate sponsorships, and so we're grateful for them.
So check out your Quincy Sun this week. On the back, you'll see the poster that Mayor Thomas Koch and, of course, Fox Rock present the Quincy Food Truck and Music Festival from 12 to 6.
See you there.
It's going to be great. Beautiful day. Weather's going to be great. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you next time. Make sure you subscribe to us and tell your friends about this podcast, because this is where you get it every single week. Mayor Koch updates you on the latest issues that are facing the city of Quincy. We'll see you next time. Mayor, thank you.
Thank you.